ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hudson-Young eventually plays it. Cleary kicks high. Tedesco coming through. Here's pressure.
What just happened? Did New South Wales just pull a Queensland on Queensland? The Blues, with the largest Origin comeback in history. The moment that swung it was a contentious send-off of Maroon fullback Kalyn Ponga that has those north of the Tweed claiming the referee just ruined Origin. And that is just the half of it. Incredible debuts from Sam Walker and Ethan Strange. A masterclass from Nathan Cleary in a player of the match performance. James Tedesco with a miracle try. Stoic and heroic defence from Queensland that fell just short. The fuse just got lit for a hell of a series. What next? Let's unpack it. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Nick Campton is the ABC's lead NRL writer. He's here to talk Origin in all its glory. He was at Stadium Australia last night. Campo, got to start with the moment that swung the game. Kalyn Ponga's send-off with 22 to go. Billy Slater would not touch it post-game, which is maybe instructive. Was it the right call from the officials?
I think it was. It's always going to be controversial because send-offs are very rare in Origin. This is just the seventh ever. This is the first one since the Joseph Suaalii tackle a couple of years ago that happened when the game was still very much live as well. But I've got to tell you, the tackle happened right in front of me, right in front of where I was sitting. And even before I saw a replay, I was thinking, I think this is a send-off.
Shoulder direct to the head, he's Gornskis.
This is a shoulder charge, makes direct contact to the head. Mate, the duty of care, you're off.
Ponga ducks in with the shoulder. There's no attempt to wrap with the arms. It gets Cola in the head. You can see that on the reverse angle. While I don't doubt there is some head-on-head contact, I think that follows the shoulder-on-head contact.
Oh, he did get him with a heavy contact. He threw himself into this.
I think it's the right decision. Of course, it's going to be controversial. Of course, all of Queensland's not going to like it. Of course, it's the hinge on which this game swung. Like, New South Wales don't win the game if Ponga stays on the field. I think that's, no one's arguing that. But to me, in the modern game, yeah, it's a textbook send-off.
What came after it was the biggest Origin comeback ever.
This is the most unlikely comeback you could ever imagine. And should they go on and survive, with 3 seconds and one play left in the game, it's Origin's biggest comeback.
Failure is an orphan. Success has many fathers. Talk to me about the daddy performance from Nathan Cleary in the context of his career.
Well, it's a massive thing for him because his Origin career to this point has been quite patchy. I think a lot of people expect a halfback of his club accomplishments to dominate Origin or own Origin, all these words that we use. And it just hasn't happened the way I think a lot of people thought it would. I think his Origin record has long been a little bit better than people give him credit for, but he maybe hasn't had that headline trademark moment in a really, really close game. All his other good Origin or his other great Origin performances have come in games that the Blues have ended up winning by 30 or 40 points. And I think he was kind of caught in a paradox. He needed to not just play well, he had to play well in a game that was really close. So, his team couldn't play too well. It had to really hit that sweet spot. And there are some people who will point to the one-man advantage that the Blues had for that last 23 minutes and say that invalidates what Cleary did. To me, it doesn't.
Brayley goes from dummy half. Segley's done. They don't need it. The pass goes right to that man. The dude, the match winner. Nathan Cleary's over.
He scores the try. He sets up the winner with the bomb to Tedesco. His biggest play might have been the 40-20, which he narrows down a very, very sharp angle. There was such a narrow margin for error.
40-20. It's a 40-20 attempt. It's got it. It's over. It's a big game play from the two-time Clive Churchill medalist.
Then even in the first half when the Blues were up against it, he's the one that sets up the try for Hudson-Young. I get the feeling that with Cleary and Origin, there are some people who will never be pleased and never be satisfied, but I don't think you can ask for much more than what he produced in that last 10 or 11 minutes. To me, it was a little bit reminiscent of that 2023 grand final performance, and it doesn't worry me that there were only 12 blokes on the field. You can only play what's in front of you, and he did, and he carved them up when it mattered. I don't know what more you can ask for.
one for the Cleary truthers. Arguably the bigger story was the debut of 21-year-old Ethan Strange, because we hadn't seen it. Did we just witness the emergence of a Blues 5/8 for like the next decade? That was something else.
That was incredible, Stacky. So Strange would have been my choice for man of the match, because I don't think Cleary and Tedesco would have been in a position to win that game were it not for Strange, a 21-year-old rookie, really bringing the Blues back to life. You know, I think like a lot of the Blues, he probably started a little bit slow, but he had that big shot on Cameron Munster after about 20 minutes that forced the first error out of Queensland all night. And he had that shot and he had a big run later in the set, and then Hudson Young scores shortly thereafter.
Cleary, he puts it on the tail. We're going to see another one from a kick. Try to Hudson Young. Hudson with an H. He's over to score. Does that turn things around?
And then in the second half, after the send-off, Strange is the one that I thought really brought the Blues back into it. You know, he's the one that threw the pass that put Kohler away down the sideline before the send-off. He has a disallowed try not long after that, and then he scores a beautiful long ranger.
The Blues centre left, Strange got the pass away, Crichton down the left wing, through horrible defence. He's over the 40 past Walker. He turns it back on the inside and racing away to score, Strange. He won't be denied. Queensland's out on their feet.
I thought his defence was great. I thought he grew into the match. I had high hopes for how Ethan Strange was going to go because, you know, when I'm not working, I am a Canberra Raider. But he exceeded even my expectations. I thought he was super. I have no idea what the Blues will do for game two with him and Moses. But I don't think it's the last great Origin performance we'll see from Ethan Strange.
If his story was an emergence tale, did fullback James Tedesco just live a redemption arc in the space of an 80-minute period?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did. Like, there was pressure on Tedesco coming into this game, even accounting for the great Blues career that he's had to this point. And I think he's one of the best Blues ever. I think he's the best Blues fullback ever. And I think he's a top five New South Wales Origin player ever. But in going away from Dylan Edwards, who was part of that winning series 2 years ago and is also one of the best fullbacks in the league, there is pressure on Tedesco, you know. And he had that bad moment when they were on the attack and he threw the bad pass to Hamole Olakau'atu. But to me, Tedesco's superpower is the way he just stays on the job always, no matter what. He's the oldest player in this series. He's the oldest Blues fullback ever. He's the second oldest fullback in Origin history. And who's the one fanging down the field in the 79th minute to try and chase a kick and force something? It's Tedesco.
Back, back, back goes Hammer. Up they go. Oh! Caught by the Blues. They've scored next to the post, Tedesco. They're going to win it.
He was already an Origin great before this try, but I feel like this does sort of cap his resurrection, you know? I was quite struck by the shot of after he scores the try and his teammates all sort of mob him, and he kind of just looks up and he's just sort of like screaming into the heavens. And I think for a pretty taciturn guy, you could tell how much that meant to him, having that moment, getting back in this team when I think a lot of people thought his Origin career was over. He himself has said he thought his Origin career might have been over. And he gets what all the legends want, which is one more time. Not his finest game, but certainly a game that like showed his character as a footballer and showed why he is one of the great players of our time.
You and I framed this series as kind of being somewhat definitive for Coach Laurie Daly's coaching legacy. I'm not sure I've seen a New South Wales team deliver a more Jekyll and Hyde performance and still do something incredible, record-breaking. What does Daly deserve credit for? What does he deserve criticism for in that Jekyll and Hyde performance?
Well, I'll start with the criticism. I think he deserves criticism for the start. I thought the Blues looked really off the pace, really unprepared, just not as sharp as Queensland. The Maroons went the first, I think they only had two errors in that whole first half, and the Blues had two or three in their first couple of sets.
New South Wales, first things first, they've got to look to complete the next five sets. Oh, there's another error.
Oh, dear.
It's the usual. Oh, and there is, it's an offside penalty just to compound it.
In Origin matches particularly, if you don't complete your sets, you're going to get killed. And that's what was happening. You know, Queensland just looked sharper, more up for it, more ready. I have some question marks over some of the selection decisions Billy Slater made. I have no question marks over his ability to get whatever team he picks to get them together and get them to their best. I think that's his best asset as an Origin coach. And, you know, Blue, like Laurie Daly's teams keep missing the jump in these big matches. It happened in game three last year, it happened in game two last year, and it happened again last night.
Back left they come. Little stab kick by Cameron Munster. And ladies and gentlemen, in Origin one, it's hammer time. Tab your wife, but no racing through to score. Two tries from stab kicks for the Maroons. Perfect from Munster. Perfect from Tabuai Fadeau. Perfect from Queensland.
But I guess what Daly deserves credit for is the way the team just sort of kept fighting and kept fighting and kept fighting. And yes, it took something extraordinary in the Kalyn Ponga send-off for them to sort of like break through and start coming down the hill. But they did in the end, and you could see the team's spirit in the end, and you could see how some of his bolder selection calls, like going back to Tedesco or even Ethan Strange as one of the 18th men, those really came to the fore. So a very mixed bag for Laurie Daly, but in the end they all count, and now he's just one win away from winning the series.
The question for Queensland, I suppose, is what do they change, if at all? I mean, they were lights out for a half of footy, definitely 30 minutes, and heroic in defence for 22 minutes a man down. Does Slater break glass and reach for Rhys Walsh?
Oh, you know, I'm not sure if he will, Stacky, precisely of what you just said. I think Queensland will frame this as, well, if Kalyn doesn't get sent off, we win this game. And they're probably right in that way of thinking. But if you follow that to its conclusion, why would they change everything? Because everything was working until this one freak incident that will surely not happen again. I would still, if I was a Queensland supporter, I would still want Rhys Walsh in this team, either in the 18 or the 19. It's just better to have him than not. But I think because Queensland can hang this defeat on the send-off, I don't know if they'll see the need for many changes. There's probably a couple of other tweaks I'd like to see them make. I thought Britton Nicola had a bit of a tough time out there on debut. His club form sort of followed him into Origin. I think Kulakefo Finifuiaki from the Dolphins would be a really good addition to that bench. And they're going to need a little bit more size and power because the Blues are going to pick Payne Haas for game two in Melbourne. But I'll be surprised if there's any unforced changes to the Queensland side. I think Slater's a big believer in dance with the one what brung you, and I think that's what he's going to do.
Feels as though a fuse has been lit for an incredible series after a pretty placid build-up. Nick Campton, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, Stacky.
Headlines. A quick epilogue to that game. Kalyn Ponga has been handed a fine for a grade 2 shoulder charge. No suspension. He will be free to play this weekend if the Knights choose not to rest him. In the AFL, Essendon and James Hird, the circus is in town. Interim coach Dean Solomon says he won't consider the role full-time until the end of the season, but the industry sentiment appears to be increasingly that applying might be futile for those not named James Hird. Other prospective candidates like Ken Hinckley and Adam Simpson have made that point. Here is Simpson.
I'm not sure if this is planned or not. It feels like it might be, but you don't really know. It's snowballed now to a point where there needs to be a decision made before anyone.
What decision needs to be made before?
Well, what are they doing?
They're going to run a process, is what they said.
Yeah, well, it'll be a one-man process at the moment. I can't see anyone going for this job.
Going back to the X, it is its own genre, but have you ever been dumped over text? Me too. We are not alone. Spanish player Alejandro Davidovich Fekina had lunch with coach Mariano Puerta after his round one win at the French Open. The coach said he was a bit crook and he was going to head to the hotel. Next minute, the world number 23 gets a text saying he is out. Apparently, he's done it to other players. Wow, the old I'm not feeling well into text breakup. Back on the apps for Davidovich Fekina. English football's having a good time of it in Europe. Crystal Palace knocked over Rayo Vallecano 1-0 to claim the UEFA Conference League.
Wharton goes on. Oh, Mateta is there! And the moment Palace craved has come.
They join Aston Villa as trophy winners in Europe. Can Arsenal claim the Champions League? Imagine the scenes in North London. They play PSG early Sunday morning. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Channel 9, Fox Footy, and Stan Sport for the extra audio used in this episode.